This scripture is from 1 Kings 19:11 through 13. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?"
I have the pleasure and the privilege of announcing our preacher this morning. I didn't plan that to be such a tongue twister. Emma Lubes is going to share the word with us today. And for those of you who don't know Emma, I would really encourage you to get to know her. She was the first youth that I met coming here to Montrose Zion. So she has a special place in my heart, and I have watched her over the last several years to grow into a beautiful young woman. She has a great message for us. But right now she's a freshman at RIT, and she's studying computer securities. Good. We practice that. please help me welcome Emma.
Growing up, one of my favorite stories was the poem, Footprints in the Sand. It goes like this. One night, I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. This really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me. He whispered, "My precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever, during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." This poem holds a special place in my heart because when I was a young girl, my father used to take me on walks to the neighborhood next to ours every Sunday evening. This neighborhood was under the construction at the time, so there was always something new to explore. One of my favorite activities was searching for spray-painted rocks in the construction areas. I found joy in finding the small rocks and bringing them home to put in my rock collection. And these moments are my first memories of finding God in the small parts of my daily life. Elijah's story in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 13, about finding the presence of God in our lives has always stuck out to me, mainly because it follows the same pattern of finding God in the small moments that I've found in my own life, and I'd like to read it again. It says, "The Lord said, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" What exactly is Elijah doing there? In 1 Kings chapter 18, there's a famine in Samaria, and Elijah meets one of his followers, Obadiah, a palace administrator under Ahab. Ahab and Jezebel had been slaughtering the Lord's prophets in the region, and Obadiah had hidden 100 of them in 2 separate caves. When Elijah runs into Obadiah and tells him to go to Ahab and tell him that Elijah has come to meet with him, Obadiah absolutely freaks out because he is scared that Ahab will kill him. Obadiah still does as Elijah asks, even though he is terrified. And Ahab and Elijah meet on top of Mount Carmel, along with 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah. Elijah then challenges these prophets to see whether Baal or God can light a sacrifice on fire first. Elijah even goes so far as to drench his sacrifice with water, and God still lights it on fire. He then slaughters all the false prophets that have been gathered, which angers Jezebel. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah runs, scared of being killed by Jezebel. He journeys into the wilderness, lays down under a bush, and prays to God that God would end his life. Instead, God sends an angel to provide Elijah with food and water, and then Elijah makes the 40-day journey to Horeb, where today's reading starts. Clearly, Elijah is not having a good time. He's the only prophet of God left in the region, and very few people still worship the Lord, instead having traded God for Baal. He's also being hunted down so that he can be murdered for being God's prophet. He's alone, he's literally running for his life, and he's exhausted after going on a 40-day journey. This is probably one of the lowest points in Elijah's life. God calls to Elijah to join him on the mountain in order to give him a reminder that he is there with us through everything, in all the small things. So often, when things go wrong, we look for the big signs of God's presence in our lives. We look for the big billboards where God spells out what to do next, and the pictures drawn in the clouds that show us where to go. We challenge God to prove himself to us, to shatter rocks, to shake the earth, and to light fires. And then we find ourselves disappointed when the big miracles we clamor for don't happen. Don't get me wrong. I believe that our God is all-powerful and can perform any and every miracle at his will. In Luke chapter 1, verse 37, it says, "For nothing will be impossible with God," and this is something I firmly believe with all my heart. But more often than not, what we think we need, and therefore what we ask for, is not what God knows us to need and has planned for us. We get frustrated then, because we don't see God at work in our lives, and we fail to notice all the small places God is at work in our lives. So we give up and stop looking entirely. We crawl under the bush and beg God to take our burdens away from us. And here, in our darkest moments, God calls to us. He gives us provisions, wraps us in his loving embrace, and gives us just enough strength for our journey ahead towards his voice, just like Elijah. God calls to us. He doesn't need us to show him a sign of our love or to prove our worth to him. At our lowest, he continues to draw us near. He wipes the tears out of our blurry eyes and says, "Look, my child, look where I have been at work in your life. Listen to my gentle whisper. Listen to my still, small voice." Which brings me to this. How often do we get caught up in actively searching for God and miss his gentle whisper calling us to his presence? If we only ever look for him in the substantial moments in our lives, we will miss all the small places where he is at work. If we miss them, we risk missing countless ways God is subtly impacting our lives. We fail to notice all the blessings God gives us. Worst of all, we overlook God entirely. In our searching, we end up running the opposite direction from the God we are seeking. God's gentle whisper is present in our lives every day, whether we notice it or not. So how do we make sure we notice it? How do we come out of the cave like Elijah so that we can hear him? Here are a few steps I've found for finding God in the small moments of life. Number 1, pray. This is the simplest step, but the easiest to forget. Even under the bush, in Elijah's lowest moment, he still prayed. Elijah allowed God to change his perspective from pleading with God for death to asking him how to move on next. Without a change in perspective, we cannot find God in the small moments. Through prayer, God gives us this change in perspective. He removes the blinders from our eyes so that we can see the world as He sees it. Your prayer doesn't need to be long and complex. Just a few words will suffice. Let conversation with God be something that flows throughout your day. As you think of something, give it to God. Number two, trust. Trust that God will provide and reveal what is necessary. Without trust, the moments where God is at work in our lives are much less apparent. Trust causes us to bring down the defenses we put up in order to protect ourselves from the world around us. Number three, allow. Surrendering yourself to God gives Him the opportunity to work through you. God wants to work through you. When God works through you, you get to see firsthand how He works in the lives of others, and you learn to recognize what God at work really looks like. However, God cannot work through you if you don't open yourself up to doing so. Surrendering yourself requires an active transformation of your heart, and therefore, a strong foundation of prayer and trust. Number four, recognize and respond. When you see God at work, take a moment to acknowledge Him. Think about what you saw and why it made you think of Him. Keep a list, whether it be a mental list or a physical list, of the times throughout the day or week where you've seen God at work. Over time, the frequency of your God sightings will begin to grow as you learn to better recognize what exactly God moments look like. If you saw your friend while grocery shopping, you wouldn't just look at them, think, "Oh, that's my friend," and not say anything to them. Likewise, if you see God during your day, actively acknowledge Him. Building a relationship with God requires deliberate actions. I want to provide a couple of examples of where I've seen God throughout my first semester of college. Oftentimes, this world seems like such a bleak place where the evening news consistently only reports negative events, and it can be hard to see Christ at work. Furthermore, college campuses are often associated with stressed out students and underage drinking, and as this is Student Sunday, I want to help alleviate that stereotype. So I've picked two of my favorite God moments from this semester. My first example is fairly recent. Like many first semester college students, I'm taking general education credits, and last week, I had a calculus exam. Now, I'm not the biggest calculus enthusiast ever, and exams stress me out, so I was not particularly looking forward to this exam. I also like to challenge myself, so I naturally woke up late. By this point, I was extremely stressed out and in a hurry, so I forgot to put on the cross I wear every day. In fact, I completely forgot about the cross I wear every day in general. As I rushed to lock my dorm door, I pulled my keys out of my coat pocket, and my cross fell out along with them and onto the ground. I took a deep breath to calm myself down, and then laughed, because our God is one who does little things to remind us that everything is going to be okay and that He is always with us. I then picked it up, put it on, and looked up and said, "Hi, God." My second example has developed over time. One day, toward the beginning of my semester, the forecast called for rain. I noticed throughout the day that whenever I was inside a building, the sky was clear. But as soon as I needed to go outside, the sky would cloud over and it would begin to rain. This happened multiple times throughout my day, and so I did what any reasonable 18-year-old college freshman would do. I complained to my friends about my bad luck. However, as the semester progressed, I began to recognize an ongoing pattern. On days where the forecast called for precipitation, it would always precipitate when I needed to be outside. It didn't matter if it was rain or snow. I even got hailed on once. This might not sound like the presence of God, but this is where perspective comes into play. At first, I was really confused, and for good reason, because I was being rained on all the time. But then I had a realization. God tries to get our attention in various ways, and He doesn't always swallow us in whales in order to do so. If you allow Him, He will speak to you, and every moment can become a God moment. Once we allow our perspective to change, the places in which we see God multiply, and our hearts become that much more filled with God's love. I chose to see my running through the rain to class as a way God was speaking in my life. When we choose to see God in places where we do not traditionally find him, we open ourselves to the presence of God and his gentle whisper. God chooses to speak in the little ways. He chooses to speak to us in his gentle whisper. While it may be frustrating when it feels like his voice cannot be heard, he is still speaking. He's just covered up by the noise of our lives. Take a deep breath and listen, because he's always there. And if it still feels like his presence isn't there, it's not because he isn't there, but instead because he's carrying you. And as soon as he feels it's safe to put you down and walk beside you again, there will be two sets of footprints once more. Amen.